Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. For He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and stars which Thou hast ordained, what is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, how Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Well, it's a joy to see all of you today. I want to recognize two or three special people. Ernie and Polly Morgan, would you stand up? Brother Morgan was our music director for 7 years. He came at a time when I needed him badly. He stayed 7 years, reached perfection, and when people reach perfection, we let them go. No, just kidding. Then I have a dear friend, Skip Bergen. Skip, would you stand? I baptized this man many years ago. He's been one of my best friends. And I'm so glad to see you, Skip. And all of you folks, I'm glad you're here today. Whether you've been a member a week or a year or 10 years or 58 years, I'm glad that you're here. I think about Pat Roberts. You see, I used to be the janitor here at the church. So you janitors, perk up. And then Pat Roberts came along. I was a secretary after I was the janitor. She came along and took my job. And they promoted me to assistant pastor. And then the rest is history. Who would have thought 58 years ago? Billy Sue, you were just a little girl then. Who would have thought 58 years ago, when my brother Bob gathered a handful of people around him in a storefront building on Wichita Street with no money, no prestige, no backing, but God. Who would have thought we would have come to this beautiful edifice that we're in today, with a ministry that's reaching around the world with our gospel through our missionaries, a multifaceted ministry. All the ministries have been blessed of God, and we thank God for it. I have many precious memories because of the 58 years I've been a part of the church, for about 57 of those. So I'm just one of the guys. I've been around a long time. I know I don't look that old, but as I've said, if you got it, flaunt it. So I'm glad today, after 61 years of marriage and 61 years in the ministry and reaching my 80th birthday, I'm glad I'm able to be here today and preach God's word to you. And I hope you've come prepared to hear the word of God. We search the world for truth. We call the good, the true, the beautiful from graven stone and written scroll and all old flower fields of the soul. And weary seekers of the best, we come home laden from our quest to find that all the sages said is in the book our mothers read. Thank God that we have a heritage like that. Now I want you to open your Bible. Oh, by the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God? Let's see what God's thinking about in the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. As you're finding your place in the 5th chapter of the book of 2 Thessalonians, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day and day follows night, God still lives and the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And I'm glad through down through the centuries it's been settled right here in this blessed book that we call the Bible. I'm privileged. And Pastor, I want you to know, I don't take it for granted. Ever since he's been pastor, 15 years now, done a marvelous work. Just look around. He's permitted me to preach the anniversary day. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Now I'm going to read from 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse number 17. And I shall read it after we pause in a moment of prayer. May we pray together, please. Father, how grateful we are today for thy kindness. Thank you for the music that's blessed our hearts. Thank you for 58 years this church has stood firmly, fervently, forcefully, faithfully for the word of God. And I pray that as read and as it is preached today, the Holy Spirit would cut into the hearts of those who may be without Christ. And for those, dear Lord, that need to come and make some dedication, a commitment of their lives, or identify themselves with the church, I pray that they would do it today. In Jesus' name we ask it for his sake with thanksgiving. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Look again at verse number 17. If any man, and I'm glad it's that way, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. How would you like to become a new person today? How would you like to undergo a supreme spiritual makeover? Well, if you'll stay tuned, I've got good news for you. You can be made over. You can become a new creature in Christ. You can be changed permanently, radically, completely, and totally. You can have a change in your heart that will cause you to march to the beat of a different drummer. What is your basic problem anyhow? Your problem is the same problem of every member of Adam's ruined, wretched, rebellious race. It is a spiritual problem. It is the sin problem. It is not economical. It is not social. It is not political. It is not educational. It's spiritual. A prominent psychologist said, and I highly agree with this and recommend it, what many people need is an experience at an old-fashioned mourner's bench. Yes. America needs a lot of things today. Right. But America needs to come back to God. Exactly. Back to the altar. Yes. Back to prayer. Yes. Back to revival. Yes. Back to repentance. That's right. That's what America needs. Yes. And you can be a part of it. Right. You see, man is a spiritual being that was created in the likeness and image of God. So much for the evolutionist. God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. As this one who is made in the likeness and image of God, I must tell you that you are accountable to God. Did you know that you have a date with destiny? The Bible makes it clear. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Did you know that you must give an account to God? Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14 at verse 11, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us must give account of himself to God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's in the book.
That's right.
And God wrote the book.
Right.
A few years ago, and may still be true, while many people want salvation on their own terms, I remember an ad on the television by a car dealer. And he said like this, come out your way, my way, and deal your way. Well, I want to tell you, folks, that's not so with God. There's no spinning the wheel with God. That popular television program named Let's Make a Deal doesn't apply to God and lost sinners. You see, you can't say to God, God, I want to make a deal with you. Because, you see, God's already made the greatest deal that could possibly be made. And he made it at the cross of Calvary, where Jesus bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. The writer of Hebrews said in 9:26, once, underscore that word, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. You must deal God's way. You must go God's way, and God's way is the way of blood sacrifice. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. In Ephesians 1:7, Paul wrote, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 12, the writer said, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of goats and calves and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Peter wrote in his first chapter, verse 18, for as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but by the blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Ladies and gentlemen, you must go God's way. And the way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Some people don't like to play the game according to the rules. You ever notice that? And some people want to change the rules right in the middle of the game. But I'm bold enough to tell you today, my friend, if you're going to win in this game we call life, you're going to have to play according to the rules. And the rule book is the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible and powerful and precious and perfect and pure and pontifical and preserved for us in our own language that we can read it and heed it and hide it and hold it forth to a gainsaying world. I must tell you that the Bible is the only book on this planet that tells you who you are and where you came from. And how you got here, and why you're here, and where you're going, and how you can get there. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me who I am. Thank God for the Bible. It tells me where I'm bound. Thank God for the Bible. It makes the way so plain. Thank God for the Bible. It exalts the Savior's name. Well, that's my introduction. Now I'm ready to start preaching. And I guarantee you, though, I'm not going to infringe upon eternity with this very timely message. The pastor, you know, it's anniversary day. We got dinner on the grounds. Nobody's in a hurry. We live in too much of a hurry, folks. We want to run in, sing a few songs, say a few words, and run to the restaurant and forget all about who God is. Let's take our time for a change. Let's see what the Word has to say to us. I want to talk to you about the dynamics of a new man. Now, what does it mean to be a new person? I submit to you in the first place, it means you are forgiven of all your sins. To sin is human, and we're all human, and we've all sinned. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 750 years before Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah, the prophet of redemption, wrote in his 53rd chapter, verse 6, listen how the verse begins and how it ends. That's important. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It begins with all, it ends with all. I heard Curtis Hudson say one day, if you go in at the first all and come out at the last all, you'll be all right. And so it is. One day, the Pharisees brought a woman to Jesus. A woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And trying to entrap Jesus, they said to him, "Now, Master, Moses said this woman should be stoned. What do you say?" And Jesus stooped down on the ground, the Bible says, and wrote with his finger on the ground. And they kept pressing him, "But what do you say? What do you..." And in his own time and in his own way, Jesus stood up and said to that bunch of hypocritical Pharisees, "Which one of you, which one among you is without sin? Let him cast first the stone against her." And he stooped down and started writing again as though he had not even heard what they said. Somebody has suggested that he might have been listing their sins. Adultery, fornication, murder, theft, lying, cheating. I don't know what Jesus wrote, and I don't think we'll ever know. Maybe when we get to heaven, he'll tell us. But whatever it was, the Bible says, when they heard what Jesus said, they were convicted in their hearts, and one by one, they walked away. And Jesus stood up and looked at that woman and said, "Woman, where are all those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she answered, "No man, Lord." And Jesus spoke 10 words that changed her direction in life and her destiny forever. Listen to what Jesus said. "Neither do I condemn thee. Go thy way and sin no more." Wow. What a wonderful Savior who can speak the word of forgiveness because he purchased it with his own blood at Calvary's cross. And you know, my friend, the Lord can do the same thing for you today. I heard Brother Fox say in the Sunday school hour, "I'm not going to name one sin that God cannot forgive. And he can forgive all of them." The most assuring, blessed, comforting word in any language is the word forgiven. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we make a journey to Rome and do obeisance to the Pope." No, that's not what it says. "If we go to Medina and Mecca and do obeisance and bow down at the altar of Mohammed." No, that's not what it says. "If we go to Jerusalem and visit all the holy places." No, that's not what it says. The Bible says, "If we confess our sins." That's it. Confession always comes before forgiveness. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I see in the second place, I just have 33 of these, so sit back and let know. Only kidding. To be a new man means you are justified. You see, it's not enough just to be forgiven. Don't misunderstand that statement. But the grace of God goes deeper and takes forgiveness to another dimension. Oh, the grace to greater debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for the courts above. Not only does God forgive, he justifies. So says Paul in Romans 5:1, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now then, you're asking, what does it mean to be justified? It means just as if I had never been a sinner. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand to you before you today just as if I had never been a sinner. And it's all because of the grace of God. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, marvelous grace. God's grace that cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, shed on Calvary's cross, cleanses. A few years ago, the makers of office paper came out with a race bond paper. Some of you will remember that. And you could make all the errors you wanted to. That's what I did when I was secretary. Pat never made any. But if she had, she could have erased them, you know what, without leaving a blemish. I got a story that's better than that. God has applied the grace of God to our hearts, and through the blood of Jesus Christ, the chemical of His blood, like the chemical on that paper, means there is no blemish, no spot, no unsightly thing left in our lives, because He washes white as snow. Amen. It will never leave a spot or a stain or a blemish. There is a fountain filled with blood, yes, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Dear dying lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power. Till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Thank God for the chemical that God has treated our hearts with, that when we are saved, the blood of Jesus washes away all the stains. There's a third thing. To be a new man means to be adopted into the family of God. I like what Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 4 at verse 4. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Someone asked Roy Rogers and Dale Evans if their adopted children were given the same rights and privileges as those that were born to them. They actually resented the question, but they did answer like this. Of course we do. We treat them just as much our own as though they were born to us. You know, that's what God does. He only had one son that He fathered. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, the only one whom He fathered. But could I tell you today, my friend, He loves us just like He loves Jesus. Romans 8, Paul says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I have been adopted. My name has been written down, heir to a mansion, a harp, and a crown. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King. With Jesus my Savior, I'm a child of the King. And I want you to know God treats you and me just like He treats His only begotten Son. You know why? Because He loves us to the same degree. That's what Jesus said. Here I go quoting Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. He said in John 17:23, that the world may know that Thou hast sent me and hast loved, watch this, hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Near to God, nearer I could not be, for in the person of His Son I'm just as near as He. Dear to God, dearer I could not be, for in the person of His Son I'm just as dear as He. Let's take another look about this new man. To be a new man means you have new standards for your life. Remember, my text says old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A notorious sinner who got saved at his first opportunity to give a testimony said this, and you've heard it, I'm not what I ought to be, I'm not what I'm going to be. But praise God, I'm not what I used to be. Paul underscores this matter of separation in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I'm going to take one more look at this new man. To be a new man means you have a new direction in life. A woman said to a preacher whom she had heard preach several times, "You're not abreast with the spirit of this age." To which the preacher kindly answered, "You're quite right, ma'am. I am not abreast of the spirit of this age, but I have within me the Holy Spirit of God who directs me over the uneven pathway of life." A passenger on an ocean liner asked the captain, "What is the gyroscope?" He answered, "When the sea is rough, the gyroscope keeps us on even keel." I'm glad they had one on the ship we were on when we went to Hawaii, because the sea got rough. And for 5 days we were on a rough sea. Glad there was a gyroscope. But ladies and gentlemen, we have a built-in gyroscope in the person of the Holy Spirit. And when the sea of life gets rough and the billows are raging high, the Holy Spirit keeps us on an even keel. A man once was parked by the road in an old Ford car. Couldn't get it started to save his life. He waved down a man that was driving a Lincoln Continental. When the car stopped, tall man stepped out and said to the man, "What's the matter, my friend?" "Oh," he said, "I can't get this old Ford started." The stranger who was driving that Lincoln went to the car, looked under the hood, adjusted a few things, and now said to the man, "Get in and start it." And he did. Then the man got out and introduced himself to the stranger and asked, "What's your name?" And the stranger said, "My name is Henry Ford." You see, Henry Ford made the Ford and he knew how to make it run. Listen, folk, God made you and me, and he knows how to make us run. And we're broken down and can't get started. All he's got to do is a little adjustment. Thank God for that. Now I'm going to conclude, and I know you'll be happy, because I know you're hungry. But I'm going to conclude by just saying to you, there's but one way to become a new person. That's not by going into the baptistry. That's not by partaking of the communion table. That's not by shaking the preacher's hand. That's not by signing a card. But it's by a new birth. There have been many high-level talks in the history of mankind. Princes and presidents and prime ministers and all sorts of high-level governmental officials have met in different places and made decisions that changed the course of history. And I want to tell you, there never was a high-level talk like that one that Jesus had with Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," that is the physical birth, the natural birth, "except a man be born of water and spirit," that's the spiritual birth, "except a man be born physically and then spiritually, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." My friend, the only way you get there is by the way of the cross. The story is told of a rich landowner who lay on his deathbed dying. His servant Jim was a devout Christian. One day he called Jim to his bedside and he said, "Jim, I'm dying. I'm not sure whether or not I'm going to heaven. Will you tell me what I need to do?" And Jim said, "Well now, boss, you need to get down on your knees down there in that hog pen and ask God to have mercy on your soul." And the landowner said, "Jim, you don't understand. I can't do that. What would my neighbors think if they saw me down there on my knees in a hog pen? And besides all that, I'm not able to do it." Well, a week went by. He called his servant back in and said the same thing. "Jim, I'm dying. Please tell me what to do to go to heaven." And Jim said, "I've already told you, boss. You've got to go down to the hog pen. You've got to get down on your knees and call out for God to have mercy on you." Jim left in a few days. The landowner called him back and said, "You know, Jim, I've been thinking about what you said. I've been thinking about what you told me that I must do, and I'm ready to go." And Jim said, "Master, you don't have to go down to the hog pen and get on your knees, but you've got to be willing to." Can I tell you this morning, my friend, you don't have to go down to the hog pen and get on your knees, but you've got to be willing to get on your face before God, admit that you're a sinner, and ask God to save you. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And you know what? He'll save you. He said he would. "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's stand, please, for our prayer. You don't have to get out on the hog in the hog pen on your knees, but you got to be willing to, my friend. If you're too proud to bow before a few people at an altar prayer, you're too proud. And God hates pride. And pride may keep you out of heaven. While our heads are bowed and the Holy Spirit is speaking, the altar's open, invitation has begun. God has spoken to your heart from any part of this great auditorium. I hope you'll just make your way out to the front. I hope that you'll just say, "If you're a sinner, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he'll save you." If you're here today and you had that experience, but today it's not what it ought to be, and the joy bells of heaven are not ringing, and you're not where you ought to be with Christ and the church, I would invite you to come and get things settled. If you have a prayer burden, listen. If you have any kind of prayer burden or prayer need for your life, for your family, for your home, for your job, for your business, if you have any kind of prayer need, I'm going to invite you to step out of your seat, come to the front, and talk to God about it. He's able. Maybe you need to unite with the fellowship of the church. I'm going to ask you to come. Put your life with this church. Join it. Fellowship, worship, serve. Father, we thank you for this hour. Thank you for these who've already come to find their place around an altar prayer. I pray that others would come. You know every heart. We may cover it up with business, pleasure, with the things of the world. We may shut it out when we go to bed tonight. But you know, and I pray that you would speak to every one of us. And those who need the Savior, that they'd come and trust him. Those who need the church, they would come and unite. Those who need to rededicate their lives and make a new start with thee, may they come right now in Jesus' name. While our heads are still bowed and we sing the invitation appeal, the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. I bid you come. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Right now.